Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
It's us, Trinity, Hatfield, Basildon and Upminster. Yeah, and it was just so great to see leaders coming together. And it was right from the start. It was like we were one family. That's what people said. And we had a speaker come in, and he was great. And it's the first thing he said. He gets called all over the country, and he said, I've never been so welcome and felt like I'm part of the family. And, you know, Freddie, wherever you are, you know, it was so great that you feel part of that now. You weren't before, but you are now. And the idea is that we reproduce what we've got here in many other places. And Basildon will be the next place. There will be another one after that. We love the fact that we're a loving family, that we have a bit of fun. You know, you won't go to many churches where they'll chuck eggs out at people. Do you know what I mean? You know, they'll go, ooh, health and safety, you know, and all that. And, you know, we do love to have health and safety and that. But we also like to, even our children, show them a little bit of risk so that they can learn to manage it and that. And we'd like to have fun. Anyway, so the idea is that we plant many churches like this. Amen. Part of Trinity as well, they're behind it, Hatfield, Upminster. We all feel the same, that we've got something so special. We love you guys so dearly that we want others to experience that. Do you want others to experience that, guys? Amen. Come on, that's what it's all about. And so, as we say, Basildon was just the first one. Okay, right, we're going to go into our word today, which is called Graves to Gardens. Who loves that song? Yeah. The problem with what we did just now was Tony's guitar was not loud enough. It's like, who wants that guitar louder? You know that, dum-dum-dum-dum. It's like, come on, there's a bit of life there. So whoever can sort that, if we can have it a bit louder, that'd be cool. We'd probably play it at the end, that's why. Okay, so we're going to read from John 20, 11 to 18. Let's give Adam a big round of applause, guys. Come on.
Hi everyone. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Amen.
Can I have my Bible, please? You know what I mean? Amen. Okay, so that wonderful Easter story there. And as I said, we're going to be called this Graves to Gardens. And so graves, they kind of speak of the end, don't they? The finish of it all. Whereas gardens, it's the opposite. You expect new things to burst out. And that's what we're going to look at today, Graves to Gardens. So, and that is the Easter message. But the thing is, we all have graves that we've dug with our own hands, yeah? Things that we have done that have actually made our lives nosedive. And it becomes a poison within us, yeah? Weaknesses that have led us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. And we should have learned from those that knew more and taught more. Don't do that, don't do this. And we're, are we going to do it our own way? And so we did it our own way. And it became hurt and pain. We had to feel that pain in our own heart. Or choices, you know, choices that we made that went totally wrong in our life. And we ended up burying these things inside. And they cause things like shame and regret to be in our heart and disappointment. And unfortunately, when you do that and you stuff these things inside, they come out in how you see life. The lens that you look through for each one of us, a lot of it will depend on what you've stuffed inside, what you've left there, and it will come out in the things that you say as well in life. But the good news this Easter is this, is that Jesus is risen. Amen? Yes. Come on. And Jesus has seen it all. He knows all about you. He accepts all that you are and loves you anyway. Did you know that one of my favourite verses, you'll hear me, is that God, His thoughts about you are more than the stars of the sky. He knows everything. So often, if we don't know about God being our Father, we tend to think, people would think that, you know, like Freddie this morning, I don't fit. God doesn't love me. God's probably angry about the things that He knows that I've done, and so I could never go to God. But actually, God knows everything. He knows you, loves you, cares for you. And wasn't it wonderful to hear Freddie say just now that he came from that place of feeling an outcast to actually being welcomed, and the presence of God just filled him. And it was wonderful to chat with him and just be, let's give him a big round of applause. Freddie, you're... And if there's nothing that you take away from today, it just take away how much God loves you. He loves you that even on your worst day, that God came, He sent His Son. He died for you on your worst day, not on your best day that you'd love Him to see. No, He knows it all. And so He would say to you today, He is here, Bible says, where two or more are gathered in His presence. He is here today by His Holy Spirit. He would say to you this, come to me. Come to me. I see your brokenness. I see the things that you have stuffed inside that you don't want anyone to know about, that are so painful, so hurtful, but I get you. I was actually there with you. And if you leave it with me, I will sort it for you. I can do this. As the song said, He is the only one who can. You up for that, church? Yes. If you don't know Him for the first time, you can have that today. That experience, like Freddie said, I feel like I'm on the outside, now part of a family with Christ inside. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at four gardens in the Bible. There are many more, but these are the main ones that we found, okay? So first of all, Eden. Now, Eden, from the start of time, Adam and Eve found themselves there. It was a garden of promise. Why? Well, it was a garden of promise because they had absolutely everything. Everything that they needed was there in the garden. As they woke up, they didn't have to worry about what clothes they wear or putting makeup on or combing their hair. And it was just, everything was there. They got up and they picked the food from the trees. It was all there for them. They didn't have to work for it. God supplied them with everything that they had. That was until they rebelled against the Father, did things their own way. What happened then? They had it all, and then they lost it all. The garden of promise for them turned into the grave of regret. And imagine how they felt then. It was all change. It was such a bad choice that led to that. And my question is, have you ever done that? Have you ever made one bad choice in your life that changed everything? That's what we were chatting with Freddie about. You know, without the Lord's guidance, we can, and I have made many in my life, whereas that one choice changed the whole 50 years following. You know, I remember one of them, I was working down at Old Street, not far from here when I first left school. And I was part of it was an insurance brokers, and the main guy there said, Clive, just stick with us. We're going to go into Lloyd's. I want you on the team. And it's going to be, you know, and everything sorted out. But at the time, they were putting people above me who were basically clueless, but they had a dad who was in the know or other things. And in my heart, I lost it. It was like, I can't cope with this. I've done all this work, and there's people that know nothing are getting twice as much. Yeah. Guess how much I used to earn then? £1,300 a year. Right, a year, right? So, but they were getting like £3,000 just coming in, and I went, that's it, I'm out. So I gave up the job, and I regretted it. I regretted it because I knew that there was a great future there for me, and it caused me to be depressed and big regret in my heart for a long time. But, so it was a real grave for me. But then suddenly, I'd started a journey that would lead me to Jesus, a journey of discovery that actually God is real, God is alive. And although we were taught as kids that Jesus is the Son of God, it didn't mean any more to me than that. But gradually I learned more and more as I read the Bible about him, and then I came to Christ. And about that time, I started a business, and that was what was in my heart all that time. I always wanted my own business. And I read a book called Bosses Not Leaders, The Power of Positive Thinking, that led me to read the Bible. I started reading the Bible. God helped me all the way because he was living in my heart by then. And that business is still going today, 35 years later. And so what God did with my grave of regret, he turned it into a garden of joy for me to see that coming to fruit. And God wants to do that for you guys today. You up for that? Yeah, we've all got stuff, haven't we, that we stuff away where we regret. We think, why did I make that choice? And unfortunately, with some of the choices, well, I will say it because the kids are gone, especially sleeping around. Yeah, it's one of the things that life says today, you know, go and sleep with whoever you want. Doesn't matter. Wait until you find the right one. You know, then it will be all right. It's not all right. We were taught that as kids, and condoms were just about then. You go out, do what you want. Little did our parents know, because they'd just been kind of like out of the war era, and this is all about freedom now. Well, what they didn't know was they're setting their children up for having babies here, there, and everywhere, which is what's happened. And then we're a couple of generations from that, carrying the damage that caused, big regret among society for that. And so God wants to do something with those regretful moments in our lives. And I love my children now. I've got three, and it's just great. And grandchildren coming, more coming, please. I know you're listening in there in Basildon. And Glenn, come on. Liz, you can do it, okay. So God turned them graves into gardens. I didn't mean to say that, but I do want more grandchildren. There you go. But God turns them graves into gardens. And he will do that if you bring it to him. If you don't, it's up to you. And I can tell you, I would rather have Jesus helping me. And so then the second garden, if we look at the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, Garden of Gethsemane, from what I saw, was a garden of prayer, a garden where we battle with God for our next step. What is the next step, God? What is it that you want me to do for you or with you? And as we see that Jesus had that garden, he went to the garden, he wanted to know what the next step was. And unfortunately for Jesus, it wasn't that good, was it? Yeah, and like Lloyd said this morning, well, I don't know why they call it Good Friday. It wasn't good at all for him, was it? Because he could see the grave. He could see the cross. He could see the pain that he was going to go through. And he cried out to the Father, his Father, is there another way? Take this cup from me. I don't want to have to go through all that pain and all that suffering. And he was so stressed out on the cross that he started to sweat blood. I mean, that is the worst kind of sweat, you know, when your actual blood comes out of your pores. That's where he was. But he saw what the Father wanted him to do, and he knew why. There was a great reason. There was a garden at the end of it. But sometimes, guys, our Christian life isn't a bed of roses, is it? Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes there are difficult things that we have to go through, each one of us. And we see Jesus go through that. But he had his eyes on the garden that was to come. He had his eyes on the end of it. But as he went through the garden, he saw the cross. His mates let him down And then one of them even betrayed him. And suddenly, this garden of prayer, this garden of the future turned into a grave of betrayal, where you would have thought Jesus said, that's it. I've come to save this lot, but I'm done. They've turned their backs. They can't even be bothered to pray for me. And now one of them's turned against me. I'm done. But he didn't do that, because he knew there was a garden to come. He knew that Father would change things. And so he continued to do that. Because of the joy that was set before him, Jesus did die on the cross. And he opened up heaven for every single one of us. And we've got to get that joy back, guys, of what it feels like to lead someone to the place where they come to Christ, where they come out like Freddie, out of darkness. Who's the other one? It was Ollie did last night. There were others at one, just on one altar call. There were six during the week with these five churches together. Six of our young ones invited Christ in to their life. The whole of heaven was having parties that night. That's what the Bible says. That's Jesus, the Father, the Spirit, and all the heavenly hosts and everyone who's passed from this life to that were having parties because of that. And so many Christians don't even manage that, or even, whoa, that was good. Guys, this is what we're here for. This is what God has given us to do, to share that good news with others. Come on, are we up for that, guys?
Yes.
Come on, it's what God wants us to do. It's what he placed us here for. And so Jesus simply asked the Father. He said, Father, what do you want me to do? And maybe he knew a bit more, but he said, God, what do you want me to do? And he did it simply. And his life opened up. It will be celebrated forever. And that's what God wants for you and for me, that we would have a life that is celebrated forever and ever. And so God wants to give some of you today your next step of his will for your life, of what he wants to do. Isn't it exciting that we're planting a church? The well, yeah, is that, that's the next step. And it came out of a few people listening to God. You know, it's, no, actually God is saying that. And look what's happening. And he wants to do something with you as well. Now, it might be scary. It probably is scary for some of you. And I'm looking at you now. Celia, yeah? So she's just recently heard that God wants her to resurrect some of these songs she was singing. Did anyone see it on WhatsApp yesterday? Yeah. Come on, we have a star. Woo. You can tell me off later, Celia. But look it up on YouTube. This is a dream birthing, guys. This is what God wants to do with each one of you. Yeah. We have poets in the house. I remember Gemma when she first got up here to give her first poem. And you know what? All of us got lifted by that. Celia yesterday, knowing that she's on the YouTube and that, and seeing someone actually do what God has placed in their heart, to me as pastor, it's like, come on, this is what it's all about. So what is it that God wants you to do? Because we are all on a journey. You know, so it might be stress at first. I know we've releasing a record, there's much stress. You know, I think BE did the artwork for that, or the photography. It's great. As you get these things together, it's not easy, but the end result is fantastic. And so what has God got for you? You see, Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's handiwork. Each one of you have got something like that in you to do. Whatever it's poetry, singing songs, serving like the girls, you were like angels over there. You know, for everyone there, you met their every need. And it's just so wonderful to see. And that, what is it? God, you are God's handiwork, that he gave you something. He prepared you to do that from before time. So before you came into the world, he built something for you to do. And that's what we want. And what he wants to do today is turn your graveyard of regret and remorse and all that kind of stuff into a garden of joy. Does anyone want joy in the house today?
Yes.
Come on. And the end result of that, the garden, is that you will shine like a star in heaven forever. Can we hear a glory for that? Come on.
Glory.
Come on. That's where God wants us. Then thirdly, we've got the Garden of Golgotha. And that is where Jesus was placed in the tomb. Man did what they wanted to Jesus. They pinned him to the cross, although he had done no wrong. And it was a garden of death. And that's the worst feeling ever. As a church, we've lost someone recently here. I remember our first one as a church, Sheila, and it just gets you, you know, when someone you know and love all of a sudden isn't here, even though you know they're in heaven waiting, it gets you. And then in our family, you know that Debbie's dad has passed, and on Wednesday, she was doing so great until about a week ago, a few days ago, and you know, it just churns up this feeling of the end. It's all final. There's no more. It's all up. It's done. And you go through that again and again and again, these waves of that and mourning. Well, this is a feeling of loss. And maybe you've lost somebody, or you've lost a job, or you've lost a relationship or a friend, or maybe even a dream you had you now know is not going to be. You know, these waves of grief get us. And this is how the disciples felt. Now, on that day, you know, when he died on the cross and he's banged up in his tomb, they thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the one who was going to come and sort the world out. He was going to lift them up and they would rule the world then. And then there he is, dead, he's gone. Their whole, all that Jesus did, it looked like to them was a massive, massive letdown. A massive letdown. But actually, they didn't know it then, but it wasn't the end. It was actually the beginning. It was the beginning of something. John 20:11-18 says this, that Mary stood out the tomb and she was crying because Jesus, her Lord and Saviour, had died. They'd got such a close, loving relationship that she was in tears out there. But then someone saw her and said, "Woman, why are you crying?" And it was the risen Lord Jesus. And as soon as she turned, she thought he was the gardener. She didn't realize it was Jesus until he turned around and said, "Mary." Then instantly she recognized him. Jesus, she knew in her heart, is Jesus is alive. Just like he told them 3 times that he's going to raise from the dead. This is what he was talking about. At that moment, she was the first one to see him, this resurrected Jesus. And it changes everything. It changes why we live, what we do, what we can expect when that death door comes to each one of us, and it will come to each one of us. And now that Jesus defeated death, the grave of death becomes a garden of new life and possibilities. The grave of lost dreams becomes a garden of hope for the future. The grave of the end becomes the grave of the beginning. And you know, the greatest thing for us is that we get caught up in that. Those that believe in him will follow. John 11:25 says this, that I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he die, yet he will rise again. He will live again. So Jesus beat death so that we can go through that door and we will beat death too. And Jesus is not just for that. It's not just now we've got a place in heaven for those who believe, that he will resurrect relationships that have gone wrong. The dead ends that we've gone down, he will resurrect. The broken dreams that we've had, the finances, he will resurrect that. That's why he came. His power will work in your life. He came to transform us, to set captives free, give us freedom in life, and heal broken hearts. It's what he wants to do for us if we'll come to him. And then the last garden, the garden of paradise. Oh, Jesus said, didn't he, to the thief on the cross, not to the big guy, that the religious guy with all the pomp and phanalia around him with the bells and smells. He didn't care about them. He said, you whitewashed walls, look at the people that need your help, and you're stuck in your little ivory tower where they're not even allowed to come. No, Jesus came for those that need help. Do you need help today? Do you need him? Because he's come for you to help to fix your life together. And we look into that. Paradise, the thief on the cross, that's who Jesus revealed that to. He said, today you will be with me in paradise, a garden where everything flows perfectly. Jesus said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I get there into this place. The fruit there is going to be perfect. The wine there is going to be amazingly wonderful. Revelation 22 says this, that the new heavens and the new earth, That's what it's called. We see it coming down. Everything is going to be made new. No more stress, no more struggling, nothing to stuff away in your heart, no more hurt there, no more pain there, no more regret, no more battle scars ever again. And every regret will be made good. Every tear will be wiped from our eyes. We're promised that. Every grave will be made into a garden. And all things are made new. Perfect bodies, perfect minds. And we live in the newness of God's glory. No more working for a living. No more having to strive to do things. If you want to pick up a guitar up there, you'll know everything without even trying. Anything you want to do, it's just going to come easy and naturally for you. This is the garden of heaven. This is paradise that we will be caught up in once our day comes. And it won't be like where we see Adam and Eve walking, just walking and talking with Jesus in the garden. We will see him face to face. We're going to see him as he is. And so in this story, we see Mary walking about in tears because her Saviour was now dead. And then them angels came and said, "What are you here for? What are you looking for? He's not dead, but he is risen." Guys, what are you doing here today? What are you looking for? Because Jesus has come looking for you. He is alive. He is in this place. He loves you. He created you. He knows every single thing about you. He sees your heart. He sees what you've stuffed inside that you wouldn't want anyone else to know. But he knows. He just wants to relieve you of the pain and take it. Have you come looking for him? Because he is here for you. And the Easter message, 1 Corinthians 6:14, God raised Jesus up, and he will always and also raise us up by the power, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead will raise us. That's what's at stake today. That's his message. If we can have someone strumming, that would be great. And so Jesus wants to turn your graves of regret. Are you up for this today? Can we ask everyone to stand? That'd be really good. Just think this one through. Right now, I want you to visit your heart. Visit that place where there are things that are stuffed. There are things that we've hidden there. And Jesus wants to come to you today. And he wants to turn your graves of regret into gardens of promise. He wants to turn your stresses and struggles into gardens of hope. Let's just hold our hands a bit like that. It's just receiving. He wants to resurrect these lost dreams, these dreams that you once thought, I know that God has placed something in me, and somehow they've stopped. God wants to resurrect them. And the misery that it can, the depression, he wants to change it for joy and his peace. Lost dreams have new beginnings with Jesus. That resurrection life will come upon you if you ask him into your heart today. And that death and loss, the realization that it's the start, it's not the end, it's the beginning. He turns mourning to dancing. He gives beauty for ashes. He turns shame into glory. He's the only one who can. Jesus is the only one who can do all that I've said today. And today he wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to resurrect old dreams. He wants to take the pains and the graves of our heart away and turn it into gardens. He wants to do that. You ready for that, church? He wants to do it now. Can I have every head bowed, eyes closed? Don't want anyone looking, no one seeing. If you have never asked Jesus into your life, if you've got them graves and you want him to turn them into gardens, if you want eternal life with him in paradise and you've never asked for that before, just quickly raise your hand so I can see it. I want to just pray for you. Just so I can see it. Bless you. anymore, just want to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, just raise your hand so that I can see it. No one else can see. Oh God. Oh God. Oh Lord. What we're going to do is we're going to pray the prayer together that would take you from darkness to light. It would allow Jesus into your heart. He won't come if you don't ask him. He won't transform him if you don't want him to. He's such a gentle God. Church, I want you to follow me. And guys, you're speaking to Jesus, not me. I'm just helping you with this prayer. Follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the God, the Son of God, that you died on a cross for me, for my forgiveness, and to set me free. You know what? Let's just say our sorries to God. You know, the things that we have stuffed in our heart. Just say our sorries. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's just forgiving. Forgiving us fresh, that we could receive him afresh. Maybe for the first time. Oh God. Okay, follow me. Thank you, Jesus, that on the cross you died for me so that I could be forgiven and set free to become all that you created me to be. I now receive that forgiveness and allow you to resurrect those dreams in my heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you offer me your Holy Spirit to fill my heart with your presence and to be with me forever. I now receive that gift. Okay, just hold your hands open. Spirit of God is in this place. Thank you, God. Move upon us, Lord. Move upon us, Lord. More God. Just receive him in your heart. That wonderful feeling of love and warmth. That is our God. That is our Saviour. That's the one who died, each one of us, to take those things from our heart. He's doing it now. Amongst the brothers and sisters, where you've strayed a bit, just removing everything. You know why he does that? Because he doesn't want anything coming between you and him and his love for you. And if you've done it for the first time, please come down. I've got a booklet that will be great for you to read. But just keep receiving. He is in the house. He is in the room. He loves each one of us. That's the Easter message. And as we sing this again, this grace the garden, let's honour our God, let's worship him with all that we